Thank you, Brandy. Turn in your Bibles here this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. The title of my message here this morning, Our God is Faithful. Our God is Faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. The scripture says, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we have the eternal word of God in our hands, we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, that you'd feed us with your heavenly manna. And Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. And Lord, you speak with authority because you're almighty God. You've created heaven and earth and sea, and all there is has been made by thy great power and wisdom. So, Father, we as the sheep of your pasture desire to be fed with your heavenly manner. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be a vessel that brings glory and honor to your Son, to your word, and to your holy name. So, Lord, bless us as we gather around it. And, Lord, we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, there was a man named Mr. Hudson. He worked at a post office. And he went to a conference. And as a Christian man, he was just young in the Lord, and he went to a conference, and he heard a conference on soul winning. And he thought, man, I wish I could do that. And he prayed and prayed, and he said, God, could you use somebody like me? And as he prayed more and more, he felt the Lord tugging at his heart to get into the ministry. And he talked about his wife, and they prayed about it, and they got some counsel. And He went to the postmaster, the post office. And he told him, I want to take this little church down the road here, and I want to pastor it. And the postmaster just laughed at him and said, I tell you what, Curtis, I'll keep your job for you, because I know in 6 months you're going to be back begging for your job. I'll keep it for you. Well, Curtis said he didn't feel real good when he walked out of there, because it made him feel about this big, what he felt God wanted him to do. Well, he quit his job, took this church, and just a small church, and he would preach the gospel and visit. You know, life has a funny way of doing this. Bills keep coming each month, don't they? And the months roll by, and they use their savings up, and it was late one, I think it was a Friday night, he had all these bills sitting on the kitchen table. And he looked at his wife and said, how much money we got in the bank? She said, Curtis, we don't have anything. And he looked at those bills and he looked at his wife, and they held hands over the table. And he said, God, I don't know what we're going to do here. He said, I felt like you wanted me to take this small church and pastor it. And I quit it to do it for you. But he said, Lord, I got a pile of bills on this table. I can't pay now. And he said, God, I don't know what to do. So he prayed, she prayed. He prayed, she prayed through the night. It got to be around 12:30, 1 in the morning. And they're just in their kitchen just praying about this. And Curtis said, there was a knock at his door. He said it scared him to death. He did the only thing he knew. This is what he told me. He said he did the only thing he knew what to do. He sent his wife to the door. That's what he said. I don't think that happened, but that's what he said. And he went to the door. And, you know, it was one of the deacons from that church. And he called him by name and said, what are you doing here? And he said, Pastor, God woke me up. And I had to come here tonight. He said, why'd you come? He said, well, I got a check for you. He said, really? He said, yeah. He gave him the check through the door and left. He sat down at a table, opened it up, and it was almost to the penny their bills on the table. Now, that's his story. That's a faith story. That Curtis Hudson went on to build one of the largest Baptist churches in Georgia. You know,
Is God faithful? Do you believe in God? Does he answer prayer? You know, we serve a great God who created heaven and earth and sea, and everything that's made, that is made, was created by him. You know, who wrote 2 Thessalonians? Who wrote that book? Paul did. Would it be an understatement to say that he was just a so-so missionary? Would that be an understatement? That'd be an understatement. He was probably one of the greatest missionaries, servants of God that we can follow. If you count the book of Hebrews, he wrote over half of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews. Didn't Paul get caught up to the third heaven and heard unspeakable things that it's not lawful for man to utter? Was Paul a great man on the road to Damascus? Did he not see the risen Christ? In order to be apostle, you had to see the risen Lord, and he saw him. Now, with being such a great man of God, what is the first few words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 say? What does Paul say? Finally, brethren, pray for us. You know, sometimes we get the idea, if somebody's got their act spiritually together, they don't need to pray. I need to pray for those that are all, you know, on skid row, and I need to pray for those whose life is just demoralized and that are just way out of the way. And one of the greatest men that walked this earth that served Jesus Christ said, pray for me. Because I guarantee you this, the more you do for God, the greater Satan's going to fight against you. And Paul said, pray for me. Now, when he said, he used the world, he was said us. If you turn over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. That's where the us came. And Paul was thinking about Silvanus and Timothy in chapter 1, verse 1. He said, brethren, pray for us. Because the battle is hard, the battle is long, and the stakes are high. And Paul said, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. Pray for us. You know, nothing of eternal importance is ever accomplished apart from prayer. And we as God's people, in this hour, we need to be men and women of prayer. And praying for God's kingdom and praying for those that God has put before us to lead works and that God has risen up for leadership. And I can't tell you in my own heart when I hear on the news another man of God has fallen. And if we went through the list, it would be mind-boggling. The Christian leaders that once stood high in our land as examples have fallen in immorality or ungodliness. And Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. What did Jesus tell Peter? Satan wants to sift you as what?
Wheat.
What do you do with wheat? You separate the chaff from the kernels. You throw it up in the air. And Jesus said, that's what Satan wants to do to Peter. He wants to throw you up and let you hit the ground and throw you up again, sift you like wheat. But what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, I have what? Prayed for you. Prayed for you. You know, we can't underestimate the need of prayer in the hour for those men and women of God. Now, as a pastor, there's things that a congregation expects from a pastor. Jesus told Peter in John chapter 21, he said, feed my what? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know, pastors are feed the sheep. That's why when I preach through a book of the Bible, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, right through, went through 1 Thessalonians recently. Now we're going through 2 Thessalonians. And you know one reason why I like to do that? If God puts his finger on something in your heart, guess what? I didn't pick you out that week to preach about that subject because I'm just going right through the book of the Bible. And if something hits you right between the eye, that's what God had for you. I preach right through because giving you the whole counsel of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, the word of the Lord, the whole counsel of God. You know, when Peter was there and he was being restored to Jesus Christ, he told him, "Feed my sheep." You know, there's things that we as pastors and preachers have to do for the people of God. It's God ordained what God wants us to do. There's qualifications. But you know, as much as things are required from us to you, there's things from you to a pastor. And what is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1? One thing a congregation do? Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Now, what's interesting in this verse, you don't see Paul praying for our physical well-being or praying for our financial success. What does he pray for? He tells them some things here they ought to pray for. Brethren, pray for us, first thing, that the word of the Lord may have free course. The word of the Lord may have free course. That word free course literally means to run. It's like the word of God is to run and accomplish what it has been set forth to do. And for Paul, that was important, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it might run for what it was ordained to do. Now, Paul said that he was bound, but he said when he was in prison, he was chained, but he said the word of God is not bound. Do you ever think about that? God's word, it goes around the world today into all nations, languages, and tongues. You know, you can take your cell phone, and you know, you can get the scriptures right on your phone by an app, and you can listen to the word of God being read to you 24 hours a day if you wanted to. Has the word of the Lord increased? It has gone around the world. And we're to pray that we can take the word of the Lord and reach people's hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Absolutely. That's how God's word people need to have their faith built up, by the word of God. Now, faith comes by hearing, but guess what? If elementary school children are taught there's no gender. You can be a man, you can be a woman, or you can be whatever you want to be. Is that good teaching for little children? No. You know, it was interesting. Nancy and I, we were in Good News Co. last week, and I had a question. We would do riddles to get them started off, and I said, "Boys, this is a riddle just for you." So I was calling on some of the boys that were raising the hand, and one little boy said to me, he goes, "Don't mess with my gender." And I thought, whoa, where did he hear that from? I'm talking elementary school. Where in the world did he get that from? Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Does God's word need to run over that elementary school? It sure does. It needs to run over there. Where does the word of the Lord need to run to? Do you have some neighbors that are at home this morning that don't go to church? Do you ever think about the word of the Lord needs to run over there? Do you ever think about the word of the Lord needs to run to our congressmen? Do you ever think about that? Do you think we need some more righteousness in our House of Representatives and our Senate and our Supreme Court? Do you think we need some more righteousness there? We need to see the word of the Lord run. And you know what Paul says? That's one of the things you're to pray for. Pray for us. Now, Paul, he was a communicator. He shared the word of the Lord. And it was important to him that people got the word of the Lord. And we're to pray for that. God, give us open doors. Give us doors of opportunity that the word of the Lord might have free course. It might flow. It might run. It might reach. It might touch. It might convert. It might turn people from light to dark, from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan and the power of God. They may be transformed by faith in thee. That was what they're to pray for, the first thing. The second thing, first thing was that the word of the Lord may have free course. The second thing, and be glorified. You ever thought about God's word being honored? You ever seen people respect the word of the Lord and God is glorified and lifted up and made bigger and people honor God's word? Is that important to you? Do you honor God's word in your home, in your life? Paul was saying, you pray that God's word would be glorified, that it would be made bigger and enlarged, that people would look upon it with respect and honor. You know, why is our society such a mess? Because the Word of God is not glorified in our society. Is there any book censored in America? The Bible. You know, our library association, when they have drag queens reading stories to little children, to me that's an abomination, for them to be having men dressed as women reading little impressionable children stories. That's an abomination. And you know, we need God's Word to be glorified and honored in our culture and our society once again.
That it might be glorified and honored, even as it is with you. The Thessalonians, they got it. They were glorifying God's Word. And Paul also prayed in verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. You know, he was praying that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, you share the word of the Lord with somebody, and they kick back at you, they push back at it. If Jesus Christ, when he told the Pharisees, you are whitewashed sepulchers, you look good on the outside, but you're full of dead man's bones on the inside, is that truth or not? That's truth. And some people don't like to hear the truth. Why? Because it cuts at their social standing, it cuts at who they are, it hits their pride, they love their sin, they love their darkness, they're unreasonable and wicked men. You know, people that take a stand for righteousness, in Timothy it says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what?
Persecution.
Why is that? Well, it's because you're living what? Godly in an ungodly world. See, a lot of people can get along with the world, but the problem is they're not living godly. They're just going with the culture and the flow. The minute you stand up and say, as in the United Kingdom, there was a medical doctor that was just dismissed, his court case was lost, because he would not refer to a transgender a man and in a feminine pronoun. This guy had a beard and he wanted to be called a she and he wouldn't do it as a doctor. And they fired him from the hospital. He took it to court and the court said, you are not respecting this man's dignity. That's what they told him. And he said, as a Christian, I am not going to call a man a she. All that live godly, was he living godly? In the beginning, God made him what? Male and female. That's what God says. You live godly, you say, I'm not going with the culture. Because if he was to say that this he is a she, one of the commandments says, thou shalt not bear what? False witness. He would be what? Lying. And he can't lie as a Christian. So he's not going to lie against to God and against his conscience. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Suffer persecution. Because unreasonable and wicked men. Now, what happens to unreasonable and wicked men when they suppress the knowledge of God? Turn over to Romans 1 here for a minute. Romans 1, this is what happens to people. Look at verse 22 of Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they become what? Fools. We're so wise, there is no God. We're made of stardust, as we heard in Sunday school. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. In other words, they make God in their own image. We as men and women are made in the image of God. They change God to make God into the image of man. They want to make God like themselves. They make up their own gods. Made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, this is a sobering verse in Romans 1. Therefore God also, what's those next three words? Gave them up. You know what that means? He said,
You're going to push away the knowledge of God. You're going to suppress the knowledge of God. It's to this point in our society, you can't even tell the difference between a man and a woman. How bizarre is that? How bizarre is that? That is just, it's unfathomable. I don't have a category for it. But they profess themselves to be wise, they become fools.
Second Thessalonians 3:2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable. You can't reason with them. They're unreasonable. And wicked men, they're given over to Satan. They've given themselves over to the works of the devil, doctrines of demons, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, if you get into the thick of it, you want those prayers of God's people covering you. Ravi Zacharias goes in some pretty tough situations sometimes. He's got some stories of going into, when the Vietnam War was going on, he went right into Vietnam preaching to our troops and some of the tense situations he's gotten into. He has had opportunities to go to the Soviet Union and address the leadership of the Soviet Union, their military leadership, all the generals. He's had chances to go in those arenas where communism was strong and proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way. And sometimes Ravi has shared in some moments that he looks strong on the outside, but he's shaken on the inside when he's talking to these people. And if you know anything about public speaking, when you got a bunch of Muslim clerics out there and you're talking about Jesus Christ, you don't know if there's some radical in the back that's going to pull out a gun and shoot you. And when he's there in the Middle East representing Jesus Christ, he wants the prayers of God's people covering him. Because he needs that. Finally, brethren, verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, when he says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that's the need of the hour. And you might say, Pastor, I can't do much. I tell you one thing you can do. You can be a prayer warrior. You can find the prayer closet and you can pray for men of God that are trying to share the word of the Lord and take a stand for truth and righteousness in our culture. You can pray and you can pray and you can pray. For all men have not faith. That's verses 1 and 2. What does verse 3 say? But the Lord is what? Faithful. We as God's people, when we're in this unreasonable and wicked men arena, when we're trying to let our light so shine before men they may see our good works, but the Lord is faithful, and that's who we depend upon. Now, why is God faithful? One thing, he knows everything. He knows what you're going through. You're saying, Lord, I'm having a tough time with, and you just spill it all out, and before you can even open your mouth, God knows everything you're going to tell him, because he's God. But you know why he wants to pour your heart out? You pour your heart out to God because he is a loving heavenly Father, wants you to work through all these things. Do you remember Man of Days? I'm having a senior moment here. 2 Kings, Mount Carmel. Elijah! Thank you. When Elijah's on Mount Carmel, and he killed the 450 prophets of Baal, and then what did Jezebel say to you? Tomorrow you're going to be as one of these prophets. What did he do? He ran. He got out of town just as quick as he could. And God found him, and God said to Elijah, "What are you doing here?" Elijah said, "I alone am left of all the prophets." God said, "No, you're not. I have 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." You know, sometimes we can feel like that. We're all alone. Nobody knows how I feel. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And God looks at us and says, "What are you doing? You know, don't you know I'm a faithful God? I'm going to see you through. I want to get you through the other side." And God said to him, "I got something for you to do." And he gave him two or three things he told Elijah to do. Get busy. But the Lord is faithful. Men are unfaithful, verse 2. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. Why? Because he knows all things. Why? Because he's all powerful. There's not a need you have that God can't meet. Now, the Apostle Paul here, he had a real need one time. He sought the Lord three times. What did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. He had a need. God says, I know that. I'm a faithful God, and my grace is sufficient for you. See, God is faithful. He is not only able, but he's willing. Not only is he willing, but he's faithful to keep us in the hollow of his hand. But the Lord is faithful. He knows our needs. He knows our needs. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not a minute ahead. You're not a minute behind. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're yielded to God. God knows where you're at. He knows the cry of your heart. He knows what you're going through. He's going to establish you. And not only that, but the end of verse 3 says, and keep you from evil or the evil one. Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking what? Whom he may devour. That's our enemy. But God's going to protect us as God's people. And God, we are invincible as God's people until he wants to call us home. When our testimony, our life here is done on earth, then God's going to call us home. Verse 4 says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you or concerning you, that you will both do and will do the things which we've commanded you. You know, the Thessalonian believers, Paul had confidence that they would hear the word of the Lord and that they would obey the things that God had ordained for them to walk in and to do. Verse 5 says, and the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. God's love is what motivates us. God's love is what guides us and protects us. God's love is over us. God's love is through us. God's love is for us. That our hearts be directed into the love of God. God's love is endless for us. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. God says, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we may be dealing with unreasonable and wicked men, when we may be serving the Lord as the Apostle Paul did with many conflicts and trials, the end of verse 5 says, unto the patient waiting for Christ, that upward look. I've said this before, two men behind bars, one sees the mud, the other sees the stars. It all depends on our attitude. And for us as believers, you want to be looking up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And we need to have that upward look, knowing, patiently waiting for Christ to return, who's going to rule and reign on this earth. Until he does, he wants us to be faithful, as God is faithful to us. Our God is a faithful God. Well, let's close here and we'll have our hymn and transition into communion here. Dear Lord, I thank you for this passage we've looked at here this morning. And Father, you're a faithful God and a good God. And we do trust in thee, Lord. And Father, we do pray that each of us would be prayer warriors for the cause of Christ. And each of us, Lord, would take up the banner of the cross and walk in light of your word. And Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Lord, you've told us to pray without ceasing, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So Lord, help us toward that end as believers, that we'd pray one for another and intercede one for another. And Lord, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer, how much more do each of us? And Lord, we just commit these matters into your hands as a faithful Creator God, who is faithful to each of us, who knows our deepest needs, and will meet those needs in your own time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Nate, you want to come lead us?